We are continuing on the tangent that the Medrash went off on about Tchias HaMeisim. So this parak is going to continue the same ideas about similar ideas about Tchias HaMeisim and about death in general and about the neshama. A lot of very esoteric ideas. I don't really have so much to say on this parak, but we'll go through it and we'll see what it says and try to understand it as best as we can. But it's a little bit. Some of these things over here are just very high, as they say, high topics. Right, so the Medrash opens up like this. It brings a pasuk in Hazinu, in the song that Moshe Rabbeinu is singing before he died. The pasuk says, "Ru'u ato ki ani anihu ve'en elikim imodi ani amis v'chaye v'chatzti v'ani erpa." Ru'u ato, now you should see, ki ani anihu, I am he. And there's no one else besides that. There's no other God besides myself. I will make dead and I will make alive. I'm going to smite and I will heal. I had smitten Vani Erpa and I will heal them. So what exactly is this pasuk talking about? So the Medrash is going to go into Ma Ra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Loi Mashtei Pavim Ani Ani. Why does it say twice in that pasuk ani ani, right? Ru'u ato, you should now see ki ani ani hu. I am he. What does it mean? I am he. Why does it say twice? Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said ani hu ba'olam hazeh ve'ani hu la'olam haba. I am the same Hashem in olam hazeh, in this world, and I am the same Hashem in the future. What does that mean? The Hashem is not changing, and Hashem is going to continue to act in the future the same way He does in the present world. Meaning, Ani hu shegalti aschem b'mitzrayim, Ani hu she'osid ligal aschem b'seif malchus revius. I am Hashem who redeemed you from the land of Mitzrayim, and the same Hashem who in the future I will redeem you at the end of the fourth kingdom, where we spoke about before, about the Arba Malchiyos, the different kingdoms that are going to rule over Klal Yisrael before Mashiach comes. So I'm going to redeem you at the end of the fourth kingdom. Right, that was in Perek. I don't even remember what Perek was. Chav something. Chav Zayin, maybe? Yeah, Chav Zayin. No, not Chav Zayin. Chav Ches. Chav Ches. Right, so Hashem is saying, Ani who? I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who's going to redeem you at the end of the fourth ghost. The Kachnamar Ani Ani who? That's why it says the pasuk. I am He. Meaning Hashem is saying it's going to be the same thing. Anybody who says that there's a second God, the pasuk says, there's no other God besides me. I will cause death and I will cause life. So why is it juxtaposing Hashem causing death and Hashem causing life to the line before? It says that there's no other God besides me. The Medrash explains, anyone who says that there's a second God, meaning God besides Hashem, ani I will kill him, I Hashem will kill him with a second death which doesn't have resurrection. Like we said, that there's a second God, so Hashem will punish you by giving you a second death. And the Mepharshim explained, because a regular death, which everyone is going to go through, so after that death, there's Tchias HaMeisim. But after Tchias HaMeisim, if a person comes back to life, if he dies, it comes back to life, then he dies again, right? So that's a second death, so then there's no Tchias HaMeisim. He's gone forever. And that's another thing we're going to speak about in this pasuk, in this parak, different people or whatever, that are gone forever and are never coming back by Tchias HaMeisim. But a person who says that there's someone, a God besides Hashem, Hashem is going to kill him with a second death. A death after Tchias HaMeisim, she'ein b'tchia, that there's no resurrection after such a death. I heard an interesting pshat once. It doesn't have exactly to do with this. I heard the Strupka of a Rebbe from, he has a shul over there in Meir Sharm. Strupka of,
I've met him before.
So
he has a shul in Meir Sharim, but he lives and has a shul in Gibeit Shalom.
Oh yeah?
Right at the Shar Yerushalayim, Mamash.
So, the Strapko Rebbe once came to LA. And he was I think it was Shal Shudah, so maybe it was Friday night, I don't remember. So he spoke in the neighborhood shul next to where I grew up. He said over the following vart. He asked the steer. He says that it says in the Gemara, in the Sacha Seita, it says Yaakov Avinu lo imes. Yaakov Avinu didn't die. We say elsewhere, we say by Kiddush Levana, other places we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David the king of Klal Yisrael, is alive and he's going to continue to live. So why by Yaakov Avinu do we say it like in a negative way? It's like he's not Yaakov Avinu lo imes. He didn't die. But by David Melech we say it even stronger. David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayim. He is alive, like a positive way. He is alive v'kayim, and he's going to last forever. What's the difference between David and Yaakov Avinu? So the Strapko Rebbe said a vart like this. It says, by David HaMelech, says it's brought in the Medrash, it says that when Shlomo HaMelech first built the Beis HaMikdash, so, you know, everything was all, you know, built a big fancy edifice, everything was all set up, whatever. The last thing they had to do was bring the Oren into the Beis HaMikdash, and then now it's the place of the Hashras HaShechina, and then everything is going to be finalized, right? So they tried to bring it in, but the gates didn't open. He couldn't bring the Aron in, the gates didn't open. So he davened, didn't work. So one Girsa of the Medrash says that he said, Bavur David Avdi, he said that Hashem should let it go in the Zchus of David HaMelech, and finally he said the Zchus of David HaMelech, and it opened up, and then the Aron was able to come in, or whatever. Right? So the other Girsa of the Medrash is that he took the caver of David HaMelech, he took the coffin where David HaMelech was buried, and he brought it into the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, look, Hashem, please open up the gates in the zchus of my father David HaMelech. And then it opened up, and he was able to bring it in. And then the Sanhedrin said to him, what do you mean? How can you do such a thing? You just brought a dead body into the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring Tumah, Mamish Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. So he was very embarrassed, and Hashem made a nes to save Shlomo HaMelech from the embarrassment, that David HaMelech came back to life. So the Strapko Rebbe says something like this. He says that by Yaakov Avinu, we don't find that Yaakov Avinu ever died and came back to life or anything. No, stop. The Gemara is just telling us Yaakov Avinu lo imes. That when the pasuk says that, you know, that he died, that's pashup shat. But the reality is that in whatever bechina it means, Yaakov Avinu lo imes. But when we're talking about David HaMelech, the pasuk says David HaMelech died. We know he was buried. But the Medrash says that he died, he came back to life. Now after a person dies and comes back to life, there's no gzera on him again, they have to die again. Right? There's he has to die again. So maybe what it means is that he came back to life and now he's alive and Mechayev Kayim. Because there's a gzera on every person has to die. Right? So he was already Mechayim the gzera that he has to die. So that he died, he came back to life. Now, what's to stop him? So he's chai v'kai, he's going to continue lasting. Okay, it's a shtickle chassidish of art, but it's a cute word. V'l'chol b'yishiyama she'ein aleikha she'ini. And anyone who says she'ein aleikha she'ini, that there is no other God besides Hashem, ani achayeyu l'chayu elam abo ulo osid lovay. I am going to give him life in this world and in the world to come. So Hashem, it comes out, Hashem takes away life. He brings death to these people, the ones that said there is God besides Hashem. And he brings life to these people that said that there is no other God besides Hashem. That's why it says the pasuk, Hashem says, I will give death and I will give life. The next part of the pasuk, mochatzi, right? I had smitten, in past tense. What does that mean? What's it referring to? Mochatzias Yerushalayim. I had smitten Yerushalayim of Es'ama and her nation. B'yayim Acharein Api, on the day of my anger. Meaning Hashem had previously destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. U'v'rachem and Yudolem Erpa Lehem. But it says, Mochatzi V'erpa. I had smitten them, and I will heal them. So he's saying, with great mercy, Hashem in the future is destined to heal Yerushalayim. To heal Klal Yisrael, to bring the Geula. I had smitten them and I will heal them. It says in the end of the pasuk says ve'ein mi shemar ve'ein mi yadi matzil. The end of the pasuk says ve'ein mi yadi matzil. No one can be saved from my hand. So the Medrash says, what does it mean? No one can be saved from my hand. So the Medrash says that any malach or sora, or different type of angelic forces, they won't be able to save Rishoyim from the judgment of Gehenna. When Hashem decides, and there's no playing around with it afterwards. There's an interesting medrash that I just recently came across over Pesach. There's a sefer Tzror Hamor from Avram Saba. He was one of the people who was kicked out of Sfarad in 1492. Avram Saba. It's a sefer, a lot of Kabbalah in it. So he brings down. The Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, the Da'alat of Beit, and the Gemara says, how is it that Hashem allows Avodah Zarah to continue in the world? Like, if people worship the sun, so Hashem shall like destroy the sun, right? So the Gemara says that, no. First of all, you have to know that, like, just because some stupid person does Avodah Zarah, that's not going to make it that Hashem should change the whole world and mess everything over because one guy, you know, because some crazy people decided to worship the sun. But they made a mistake, they're doing the wrong thing, but Hashem is not going to redo everything just because of these guys. So the Gemara also says that Hashem puts it in the world, the option that a person could make a mistake and follow Avodah Zarah. Hashem leaves that option open. Hashem doesn't make it so clear and obvious that it's only coming from Him. You could think that the sun has some powers in the world. It makes things grow, etc., whatever. So then you can think, there is the power to the sun, so then maybe I'll worship the sun. Something like that. The Gemara brings the pasuk, Asher chalak Hashem l'chol ha'amim. What does it mean, chalak? She'achlikan b'dvarim k'day la'tridam. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him room to slip. Chalak is like a lashon of slipping. Hashem gave the goyim room, or the people of the world, room to slip, that they could think that Avodah Zarah is real. Yeah, he has blood, otherwise there's no bechira, and then you can't get schar v'einish on the mitzvah.
Yes,
achranis. I mean,
it's a test.
Right. So this from Avram Saba in his Pirush on Chumash, he's talking about Baal Tzafon. So it says that by Yetzias Mitzrayim, like by all the makas, Hashem destroyed all the different gods of Egypt, except He allowed Baal Tzafon to remain afterwards. Right, and when the Yidden were running away and Paro was chasing after them, he saw that Baal Tzafon is still standing, even though all the other idols are destroyed. So he thought, so the Baal Tzafon, that's the real Avodah Zarah, the supreme leader in the world, the supreme power of the world. And so Rashi said, I think Rashi Chumash says this already. Hashem allowed Baal Tzafon to remain to give Paro that space to make a mistake and think that Baal Tzafon is the one running the world. But Ram Saba says it like this. He brings a story. He says there was once a certain type of Avodah Zarah that you would, people who had different ailments would go and they would get healed by going to such temple. You would get healed by going there. Fine. So there was once a Jewish guy who I think the story says that he was blind. He's blind, and he said, "No, I want to go to this temple and get healed, right? It's a bit of dirt. No, I want, you know, it works, right? So let's go do it." So he goes to the temple. Remember, he's blind, right? He goes to the temple. What does he see there? He's blind. I'm not sure how he sees this, but whatever. He goes to the temple and he sees a certain shade. Maybe that's he sees a certain shade. That shade is like smearing some certain type of oil on all the people that are coming to get healed, and then all the people get healed. So he goes over and he says, like, "Okay, no, can you heal me?" He says, "What? You're Jewish. I can't heal you." So what do you mean? You're healing all these other people? So he says, "No. First of all, I'm not really healing all these other people. It's just a mirage. I'm not really healing them." The Gemara already actually says this also in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that when Hashem gives an ailment to a person, so Hashem says to makes the ailment swear. He says, "Well, Mister, what such and such disease? You're only going to such and such person on the condition that you're going to leave that person through such and such medications on such and such day, etc." Right? So the shade tells the guy, "Look, I'm not really healing them. All these people that are getting healed, it happens to be that today this guy was supposed to get healed. And he had, for some reason, he decided to come to the temple. So I make him think that I'm the one healing him, but really he was supposed to get healed anyways. So he says, so how come you can't do it to me? You know, like, what's pshat? No, he says, you're Jewish, you have to wait till Hashem heals you. Because it brings this pasuk that we're talking about over here. Hashem is the one who brings the healing. Hashem is mochatziv ani yarpa. Hashem makes the ailment, and Hashem also brings the healing. You know, another pasuk called Machlash Hashem Yitzayim Layasim Olacha Ki Ani Hashem Reifecha. Hashem is our doctor. Fine. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Yenusan Omer. Rabbi Yenusan says Kol Amesim Oilin Chutz Midor Amabel. All the people in history who died are going to come back to life by Tchis Amesim, except for the people that died in the generation of the flood, in the time of Nerach. Shneamar, it says the pasuk Meisim Bal Yichyu. People who died will not come to life. Meisim Bal Yichyu Elu HaRishoyim. Meisim Bal Yichyu or Rishoyim. Shein Kinev Lasa Mehema Sheakumu Loyam Adin Ava Lo Yichyu. It says Meisim Bal Yichyu. What's that talking about? It's talking about Rishoyim, because like a Rasha is called a Meis. We said Rishoyim Afilu B'chayehem Kuriyim Meisim, as opposed to Tzadikim Shafilu Rishosim Kuriyim Chayim. Right? So Meisim Bal Yichyu, the wicked people are not going to live. It's talking about the Rishoyim, that the Rishoyim are going to come up by Tchias Meisim. They're going to come up for Yom HaDin when Hashem gives the ultimate judgment. Aval Lo Yichyu, but they're not going to like live. Aval Tora Mabul, but the generation of the flood, the people that died in the flood, the time of Noach. They're not even going to stand up for the ultimate judgment. They're completely destroyed. They're not coming back. Refoim bal yakumu. The refoim are not even going to come up. The meisim were the rishoyim bal yichyu. They're not going to live after tchias meisim. They're just going to experience the ultimate judgment. But refoim bal yakumu. They're not even going to come up for the ultimate judgment. Refoim is a term that refers to the people that lived before the Mabul, like we say by Oig Melech HaBashan, Kirag Oig Melech HaBashan Nishar Miyeser HaRefoim. He survived the Mabul, and says in Pasuk that he alone remained from the Refoim. Refoim is a reference to people who lived before the Mabul.
My Girsus is Rishoyim. Others that say Rishoyim says Goyim.
Goyim? Oh, interesting. A different gear, so instead of Rishon, it says Goyim.
Uh-huh.
No, mine says Rishon, it doesn't say Goyim.
It could be
it was, you know, the sensor changed, made them change Goyim to Rishon or something like that. I don't know. I didn't think to look in the critical edition of the manuscripts. But it happens to be that there's actually another girsa over here where the Yomi Izmir has this girsa in Veloy Oyela. He says, "Avol Dor Hamidbar Af Biyam Adin Ayim Dim." But the people, the Jews that died in the Dor Midbar, are not going to come up even for the ultimate day of judgment.
That's a huge
chiddush. And Parshas Rav Chaim Falachi over here in Par Achad, he disagrees with it. He says, no, we don't hold like that. That's not really the Girsa, and there are other sources that it's evident from those sources that the people from the Dor HaMidbar are going to come back to life. There are Dal points on another thing, that because the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the people that died in the Mabul, in Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin. The Gemara says that the people that died in the Mabul are not going to come back for the day of judgment. But there's an opinion in the Gemara that says also Anshei Sdoim, the people that were killed in Sdoim, are also not going to come back for the Day of Judgment. So, but there's a Machlokes over there in the Gemara. So the Radal says that over here that we didn't mention anything about Anshei Sdoim, so you can be rest assured that this Medrash over here holds like the Manda Amar over there in Sanhedrin, that the people of Sdoim, even though they don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba, but they are going to come back for the Day of Judgment. Meaning they'll be included in the category of Rishoyim over here.
Judge, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be included in Rishoyim, not in the category of Dor HaMabul. Fine. I guess we're talking about the people who died in the Mabul. Their souls will become spirits, and damaging demons for people. And in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy them from the world. So that they won't damage any Jews anymore. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, "Lachin pokadati v'tesime v'tashmidem." Therefore, I will have pokadato. Sorry, "Lachin pokadato." You remember them v'tashmidem, and you will destroy them v'tabed kol zecher lamay, and you will wipe out any remembrance of them. Fine. Rabbi Zechariah says. Sleeping at night is comparable to Olam Hazeh, and waking up in the morning is comparable to Olam Haba. This is a motif that we find in a lot of places in Chazal, that this world is comparable to Olam Hazeh, is comparable to night, and Olam Haba is comparable to the day. The basic idea is that at night, the source of the light of the shefa is it's more hidden. It's not readily apparent because the source is always the sun, right? But you don't realize at night when you don't see the sun, you only see the sun reflecting off the moon and coming down. It's like it's sort of hidden, the shefa that's coming to the world. In the day, the shefa's coming. You see the sun, and you see the shefa's coming straight up from the sun. So in this world, in Olam Hazeh. So Hashem's presence and Hashem's influence is sort of hidden from the world. It's not readily obvious. But when Hashem is going to, you know, come out and everyone's going to realize that, you know, that Hashem is Hashem and everything is coming from Hashem, because that's going to be comparable to the day. There's a lot of different vortlach that they say about why Olam Hazeh is like the night and Olam Haba is like the day. There's one particular vort that's appropriate over here. The Vilna Gaon says that we say by davening after Kriya Shema, so we say by at night we say Emes V'Emuna. Hashem is Emes, is true. V'Emuna, it's something that we believe in. We believe in Hashem. By day we say Emes V'Yatziv, V'Nochay, V'Kayam. Hashem is true, and he's standing V'Kayam, and he exists, etc. It's a much stronger lashon that we say in the day than at night. At night, it's like Emes Emuna. We believe in Hashem. We don't see it. We know exactly so clear that it's there, but it's Emes Emuna. We can trust in Hashem. But in the day, it's Yatziv, Nocha, Nekayim, Yosher, Neeman. All these, it's much stronger. We have more ways of expressing it because we see it much clearer. But Al Kapanim Zechariah says that sleeping at night is doimed to this world, and waking up in the morning is comparable to the Olam Haba. Umash nas halayla adam shechem v'yoshen v'ruchay shetetas b'chol ha'aretz u'magenas le'b'cholayim kol davashiyah. Just like when a person goes to sleep at night, and his neshama goes up and flies around the whole world, and it tells him in dreams all the different things that are going to happen. Shneimar b'cholayim chazei layla azig la'ozen anashim. Just like when a person sleeps, so his neshama goes out and flies around the world and tells them in the dreams everything that's going to happen, so too people who are no longer alive, their neshamas go and fly around the world and tell them everything that's going to happen. Actually, it doesn't say neshama, it says their ruach. And there's three parts to the spiritual being of a person: the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. Naran. So here it's talking about the ruach, not necessarily the neshama. Okay, this isn't so pashut because the Gemara in Brachos in the beginning of the second parak discusses whether people who are dead know what's happening in Olam Hazeh b'chol. A famous story about the guy who slept in the Beis Kvaris on Rosh Hashanah, and he heard two spirits speaking to each other. Yeah,
it's Gemara in Brachos.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it's a whole story. They understand, whether they hear what's going on.
Right. But they give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's destined to bring them back to life. The Chassidim are going to be happy with the Kovid. waking up in the morning is comparable to the future, because it says Sabinava Baker Chazdah, Hashem is gonna, you know, satisfy us in the morning with his kindness. And that's what we spoke about when we talked about that parak in Tehillim, Parak Tzadik. We spoke about, we went through that line by line in Parak Yudches. Yudches? Which parak was it in? I don't remember which parak it was in, but we spoke about it earlier.
Yudches.
I know that's Tzadik Beis. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. No, that's Tzadik Beis. This is Tzadik.
Okay.
No, whatever. It's the same idea.
Because over. No, that was he's more the Shabbos.
Right. I made a mistake.
Similar.
That's similar. But over there, it also uses the word Boiker to talk about Yom HaMashiach, no?
I mean, the vort is the hardest time comes at the just beginning, the end of the night, and then the morning when light first comes. That's
Fine.
Darkest.
Now, the manager is going to talk about something interesting. Shisha. There's six elements, six things, which their voice goes out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, but their voice is not heard. What does that mean? Their voice goes from one end of the world to the other, it's not heard. I don't know, we'll have to figure it out. Ve'elohim, these are the six. First of all, Bishash accursed as a ta'ilon shu is a peri. At the time that you're cutting a fruit tree, a fruit bearing tree, when you cut a fruit bearing tree, the fruit tree calls out a voice, or there's a voice that calls out, and it goes from one end of the world to the other end of the world, but nobody hears it. And when a snake sheds its skin, we said earlier in Perek Yudalit that one of the punishments of the snake by the chait of the Eitz Hadas was that the snake is going to have to shed its skin once every 7 years. So when a snake sheds its skin, it cries out a voice that goes from one end of the world to the other end of the world, but nobody hears it. And at the time that a woman gets divorced from her husband, a voice calls out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. And at the time that a woman is with her husband for the first time that they have intercourse, a voice goes out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. And at the time when a child is coming out of its mother's inside, of its mother's womb, a voice calls out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. The Radal has two ways of understanding this. Is it talking about the woman who's giving birth, that she has a lot of pain, so she's like screaming out, so she calls out, and that's what it's referring to? Or is it referring to the kid himself who's being born, that he cries? And at the time that the neshama, the spiritual entity of a person's body, leaves his body, separates from his body, a voice goes out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. And then the Medrash ends up one line over here, the neshama never leaves the body until it sees the spirit of Hashem. No one can see Hashem and live, but before he dies, he does see Hashem. So we have these six things over here that the voice calls out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. So what's happening over here? First of all, Sam, the Radah points out that we said that when the neshama leaves the goof, so then the voice calls out, right? That's one of the cases, that the voice calls out and no one hears it. So he says that because we say that Ki'adam Eitz HaSada, a person is comparable to a tree, so that's why the Medrash said also that when you cut a fruit tree, so the voice calls out. That's the source of it. the comparison between a person and a tree is why the Medrash decided that also when you cut a tree, there's a voice that goes out. And he says that it could be that the recanted in Parsha Shoftim says this idea as well. Al-Kabanam, okay, so what's happening over here? So, Rabbi Leomi Izmir brings a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara, the famous Gemara with Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, Gemara says that he went to every single, we'll read the Gemara. Gemara,
does the coal have to be from one of the objects involved? Could be that there's a coal.
Well, we're gonna see what this idea of the coal coming. Where's the coal where's this voice emanating from? Okay, so Gemara says Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, Avodah Zarah is not gonna laugh. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, there wasn't a prostitute in the world that he didn't have relations with. He went to every single prostitute and says that he heard that there was one prostitute who is in the certain places, the Krache Ayam, in some island somewhere, some foreign place, that she charges a lot of money. So he went, he took the money with him, and he's going to go, and he crossed seven seas to go to her, right? And then, at the moment that he was going to, you know, consummate his desires, so he, what's it called, he released flatulence. So she said, just like that flatulence, the gas that from your flatulence came out and never went back to its will never go back to its place. So too you, Mr. Elazar ben Dordaya, you've gone so far, you're never going to be able to go back. Meaning you won't be able to do tshuva. And then he decided, you know what? That inspired him. No, wait, I'm in such a bad situation. No, they say that before a person realizes how far he's gotten. When he's going off, to hit rock bottom. When you hit rock bottom, then he can start climbing back up. So he's hit rock bottom. Then he decided, okay, that gave him the service to do tshuva. So it says that he stood between two mountains, and he said, mountains and hills, please daven to Hashem for me and have mercy on me. Right? And then it says in the Gemara, the mountains and the hills said to him, before we start asking Hashem to have mercy on you, we should ask Hashem to have mercy on ourselves. Because it says the pasuk here, we mushenu va'gvoyes mutano. Then in the future, Hashem is going to move around the mountains, right? So then it says that he went to Shemayim va'aretz and asked them to pray to Hashem on his behalf. And they said no, ever the same thing. And basically, he decides that he's the only one himself who could daven, and he puts his head between his knees, and he cries so much until he dies. And then a baskal comes out and says that Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya, they call him Rebbe now, Mzuman Lachai Elam Abba, he's prepared to Elam Abba. And the Gemara says that when Rebbe would hear this story, Rebbe would cry, because Rebbe Yudanasi would cry, because it says Yesh Kainu Elam Abba Kama Shani Yesh Kainu Elam Abba Shachas. Well, a person can work his whole life and try to get Elam Abba and get Elam Abba, and another person can spend a whole life doing all kinds of affairs or whatever, and in 1 minute, in 1 hour, he can get his Elam Abba. And that's more or less the story of Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya. So Taisus over there asks the Kasha. Taisus says he went to the mountains, and he said to the mountains, please pray to Hashem for me. Right? And the mountains said back to him, we should pray to Hashem for you, we should pray to Hashem for ourselves. Right? So Taisus asks, what do you mean? The mountains talk to him? Where does he get that from? The mountains said back to him, no, we should die for ourselves? The mountains don't talk. What happened over here? So Taisus gives two answers. Taisus says, the first answer is, you know, what happened was Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya was in some sort of meditative dialogue that he was having with you know, the elements of nature until he realized that everything was totally in himself. But now that the mountains said it to him, it's that he was thinking it in his head, and he imagined that if he would say this to the mountains would answer back. That's what they would answer back to him. That's the first answer Taisus. Second answer Taisus says, you know what said it? It wasn't the mountains. It was the Sar Shel Aharim. It was the heavenly representative of the mountains that he was having some sort of discussion with. whatever exactly that means. So Rabbi Yomi Izmir over here explains that these six things, that the voice goes out from one end of the world to the other end of the world, the voice is not heard, is not referring to the actual tree or the actual snake or the actual woman or etc. It's rather it's referring to the sar of the tree. Everything in the physical world has a corresponding heavenly element that corresponds to it. So the malach of the tree, the malach of the nochash, the malach of the woman lets out this voice. That's why there's a voice, because it's a spiritual voice, but it's not heard, because it's not a physical voice that you can hear. Now, I think this answers the question. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there to hear it, does it make a sound? Yes! The Medrash says it makes a sound. It says, Hakol Yosef Misayfo Eilam Vat Saifoy. Even though Ein Kol Nishma. This is Mamish before Shemedrash that says when a tree falls in a forest and there's no one there to hear it, it makes a sound. Okay, that was a joke. But Al Kapanim. Yeah. Rabbi Yomi Izmir, there's another. It's, I don't know, I think it's a shtickle funny over here, but Rabbi Yomi Izmir has a gears up where this Medrash starts off. It says there's five things that have a voice that goes from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and the voice is not heard. And then it lists them, and then there's really six of them. Right? There's the tree, the fruit tree. There's the snake. There's the woman getting divorced. The woman getting married. The child being born, and the neshama separating from the guf. Those are six. So he had a girsa that it said there's five things, and then it lists six. So then he's bothered by, well, if there's six of them, why does the Medrash say that there's five? And he answers that. What you have to say that the woman getting divorced and the woman getting married, they're both talking about the same person, so you have to say that the Medrash counted them as one. That's what he answers. And then I would add that if you want to say that, then you would have to explain that when it says that a child being born is one of the things that releases a voice that's not heard, so that's talking about the kid releasing a voice, not the mother releasing a voice. Because then you could say that there's really three things that are included in woman. Okay, whatever. But Rav Chaim Falaji also over here points out that no, the girsa is six. It doesn't say five, it says six. And then for some reason, Rav Chaim Falaji in the Parachat, he says, even though the girsa says six, and there are six, then there's no problem over here, but if you have the girsa that says five, like Rabbi Yomi Izmir, so I'll tell you a part. Okay, it's a vort that you know is somewhat superfluous because we don't have that gear saw, but he says a vort. He says that of these six things that are mentioned over here, so he says that five of them in the future are going to be moot, going to be irrelevant, and one of them is going to continue in the future. He says in the future, there's not going to be a difference between fruit tree and non-fruit tree, and all trees are going to bear fruit, like the Gemara at the end of Ksuba says, and therefore this thing that when you cut a fruit tree it's going to give off a voice, that's not going to be there in the future. Woman getting divorced from her husband, not going to be there in the future. Woman getting the pain from Basulim is not going to be there in the future. The pain of childbirth is not going to be there in the future. The pain of death is not going to be there in the future. All these things are not going to be there. What is going to be there in the future? The only thing that's going to remain is the nochash. When he sheds his skin, he's going to have a lot of pain, and that pain will cause him to cry out. That's going to last. The nochash will never get his tikkun from the chid of the Eitz HaDaas. But the man will get their tikkun. Man will get their tikkun, and therefore tsar leida and tsar besulim, these things, which are really just a punishment for the chayt of the Eitz HaDaas, are going to be nisbatal, they're going to be irrelevant, and they're going to be nullified and taken away from the world. So there's only going to be... So he says that that's... When the Medrash says there's five things, and then it lists six, it's like there's five things that are going to be there, and then they're going to go away. They're there now, are going to go away. And we're mentioning a sixth one that's not going to go away. And that's what he says. And then he wants to connect this to the five voices of Simcha, Kol Sosan, Kol Chosan, Kol Kala, Kol Mitzal, Kol Sosan, Kol Bosom, that in the future there's going to be five voices of Simcha, and it corresponds to the five voices by Matan Torah. He doesn't explain how all this connects, he just says that it's connected. Al Kapanim, yeah. Fine, let's go back there. Rabbi Azariah Omer. Rabbi Azariah says, Kol Hanashamais, we're talking about, I guess we're talking about Tchisa Mesim. Maybe we're talking about Olam Haba, I'm not sure. Rabbi Azariah Omer, Kol Hanashamais, Chayzus, and Nesafis, Ish El Dar, Ayesav, Ve'el Amav. All the souls are going to be gathered, each person to his forefathers, to the generation of his forefathers, and to his nation. What does it mean, his nation? So the Radha explains that we're going to explain to you what it means, nation. Hatzadikim v'hatzadikim v'rashoyim v'rashoyim. Nation doesn't literally mean nation. Rather, it means ve'el amav, meaning the people who are similar to you. Tzadikim are going to be gathered together with the tzadikim, and the rashoyim are going to be gathered with the rashoyim. Shekin Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham Avinu. Like Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "V'ata tova el aviseicha b'shalom," and you will go to your forefathers in peace. So he's saying that when Hashem was telling Avraham Avinu, when you die and your neshama leaves you and goes somewhere else to some place called Elam Abba, so your neshama is going to go join its forefathers. Like we said, that the neshamas are going to join the Dor of Yosef. I would assume that it doesn't literally mean, like, let's say his father, because his father was a Rasha, but let's say his earlier ancestors, maybe Srug, maybe wasn't a Rasha, Ru'u, or, you know, higher up, Noyach and Adam, it's going to be, Avraham Avinu would join them. Fine, so it said that you're going to join them in peace, right? So the Medrash asks a question. Is it true that when the soul leaves a person's body, that's called peace? What does it mean that the soul is going to leave in peace? It means that before a person dies, the malachim, the angels that are waiting in Shemayim for him, or the Radha brings it when the Rekach brings this Medrash, he says that tzaddikim that are already in Gan Eden, and they know you're coming, so they're going to wait there and greet you, v'amrim l'shalom, and they're going to say, oh, peace, when you come up there. Shneimat says in the pasuk, Yavai shalom yanucha mishkavayisam. The peace is going to come on, and then you're going to lay down. So the people who are going to come greet you, the malachim or the tzaddikim are going to come greet a person before he dies. They're already getting ready to greet you when you go to Gan Eden. Yeah. Because of Achalim, Ibn Asata, Kivirisacha b'shalom. Fine. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Kol HaTzadikim Shemesu B'chutz La'aretz, Nafshesem Nesafes La'aretz. All the tzadikim who died in Chutz La'aretz, the neshamas are going to be gathered in Eretz Yisrael. Shneimar, it says, L'pasiv Ayis HaNefesh Adoini Tzura B'tzura Chaim. The soul of my master will be tied together with the tying of the life. What does it mean, B'tzura Chaim? HaChaim, what does it mean, the life? The life means the life, meaning Eretz Yisrael, the land of the life, Eretz HaChaim. So the Radha says. All the people who, all the Rishoyim who died in Eretz Yisrael, their souls will be sent to the Kela, Chutz La'aretz.
With a Kela, or what's a Kela?
I'm not sure exactly what a Kela is, and I did try to figure out different.
I just remember because Rav Tatz said that when you die, Russia, the Gehinnom is like a slingshot.
I think that Kela means something like whacking or whipping or something like that, or slingshotting, something like that.
Mishlachos
is to be sent? Yeah, sent or thrown.
Sent
for Kela, Chutzlach. Shinemar Ves Kalena Besech Kafa Kela. The Mukubal talk about that Kafa Kela is like one of the most extreme levels of Gehenna. I never exactly understood how it works, but that's I told you this perk was very esoteric.
Yeah.
And in the future, Hashem is going to grab onto the corners of Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means. And he's going to shake it off from all tuma. Like a person who takes a clothing, or like the more appropriate mashal would be like a tablecloth, and you pick it up and you shake it and you throw off all the things that are on top of it. Because it says in the pasuk, "Lachas b'chanfes aretz," Hashem is going to grab onto the corners of the land, v'inoru rishoy mimena, and the rishoyim will be shaken off from it. Okay, whatever all of this means, Now, we're going to speak about a person's reluctance to die. A person has a natural reluctance, a fear of death, and a person has different things that they're going to try to do. Like, maybe this will save me from dying, maybe this will save me from dying, and ultimately you see that no, nothing can save a person from his ultimate destiny. Hashem said people are going to die, people are going to die. The only thing you can do is you'll try to make better your position in Olam Haba and Gan Eden, but you can't get saved, right? We say, what's it called? What was it? Yeah, I said to someone, this last week, 2 weeks ago, I said to someone that we say in America, there's two things that are sure in life. So he was Israeli. So he said to me, death and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, in America we say it differently. In America they said it's death and taxes, right? Death is something that a person can't escape. So the Medrash is like, a person has three things which he loves in his life, and the Elohim, and these are those three things, three elements. Banav uvnei vanav, his sons and his grandsons, or the other Girsa, the Rabbeinu B'chai in Kadakamach has Girsa of Ishta Yubanov, his wife and his children, or Banav Bnei Beislai, that's Marzu's Girsa, his children and the people of his household. So his family, let's call it family. Umamoinai, his money, Umaisavatevim, and his good deeds. There's three things that a person has in this world: family, money, and good deeds. So he's going to try to use these three things to get out of having to die. When a person is going to die from this world, the person is being taken out of this world, he gathers his children and his members of his household, his family, and he says to them, I beg of you, that please come and save me from this evil, this bad judgment of death. I don't want to die. Please help me. Save me. I don't want to die. And they answer back to him and they say to him, don't you know that there's no shilting b'yam ha'mavis? There's no dominion on the day of death. There's no rulership. A person is not in control. Is it not written in Tehillim, achli foda yifta ish, a brother can't redeem another person? And they say to him, even your money, which you love so much, is not going to be able to redeem you. Shinamat says in the Pasuk, no one could give to Hashem his koifer, his redeeming, ransom. Lama, why can't a person give a ransom himself to Hashem? The pidyon nafshem, the ransom of his soul, is yekar, it's very expensive. It's so expensive, a person's soul, if you want to kibayachal, you want to pay off Hashem and say, look, instead of killing me, I'll give you a certain amount of money and then you let me live, right? Well, what's that amount of money? Whatever that amount would be, it would be so great that it's impossible. V'chodal, v'chodal means it's stopped from happening. V'chodal midover zel olam. This such a thing is impossible to happen because there's not enough money in the world that can equal the value of one person's soul that you could try to use that money to pay off Hashem kibiyachol to not die. It's impossible. So they're telling him, look, you know, we can't save you, your money can't save you. Go in peace, lay down in your eternal resting, and you'll come back for your portion, the Kefs HaYamin, at the end of days. And your portion, Meretz Hashem, you'll be with in the same place as Chassid HaElam, as the righteous people, of the pious people of the world, and Meretz Hashem, everything will work out for you. But don't worry, you'll have to die, but hopefully everything will work out. So his family is not going to help him. When he sees that his family is not going to help him, he gathers up all his money. He says to his money, I've toiled very much over you, day and night. Bivakasha mimcha. No, I spent so, I gave so much effort for you, Mr. Oh, money. Please, money, help me. Bivakasha mimcha. I request of you. I beg of you. Pedeni min amalus azev atzileni. Redeem me from this death and save me. Over here it doesn't say Mavis Hara. But he was talking to his family and said Mavis Hara. Here he doesn't say Mavis Hara. I don't think the Mepharshim will speak about that. But it's just an interesting art. V'huma yeshiva, he answers back, the money answers back to him. V'alei shamata, don't you know, it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, lo yoyel hain b'yoyim evra, capital does not help on the day of anger, on the day that Hashem is going to kill a person, his capital, his money is not going to help him. On that, sorry, money doesn't help. Achar kach machnis ma'isav atoivim, then he gathers up together all his good deeds. Come and save me from this death. And come and strengthen me. And don't let me get taken out of this world. No, help me put up a fight. There's still hope. There's still a pull. You can still. I'm not sure exactly what this means. Shadayin yeshachem techelas alai. You can still pull me imenotzel if I get saved. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but there's still some sort of hope that the ma'isim ha'tevim of a person will help him. The hinayim life and his ma'isim ha'tevim, his good deeds say to him, Lech l'sholim, go in peace. But go in peace, allow yourself to die. You know, there's nothing to, you can't fight it. But I'll tell you this much. Ad shalai say lech l'sholim, onu matim ineischa. Before you get there to Al Mabah, to wherever Hashem is going to judge you when you die, we're already going to be there. Anu Maktim Eneis, we're going to be there first. Shinamat says in the Pasuk, V'holach l'fanecha tzidkecha, k'vod Hashem yasfecha. V'holach l'fanecha tzidkecha, your tzidkos, your righteous deeds are going to go in front of you, and then you're going to be gathered up by Hashem. Alright. Shiva Simeha Evel Maskel Haguf L'Hasaya. During the 7 days of Avelus, so during the 7 days of mourning, a person's body begins to get wormy, and then eventually, as the Radal says, this is eventually venomous, it becomes dissolved, and it returns to dirt where it came from. Shinamat says in the Pasuk Yashav, Afar al Arat Kishahaya, and the dirt will return to the land like it was from before. That's the goof. The goof goes back and is returned to the land like it was. But the neshama. The neshama remains forever. The neshama doesn't dissolve. It doesn't disappear, because the neshama is not made out of the neshama is not made out of the ground.
Why doesn't he's learning from Koheles? Why does he learn from Rishis?
Fell off our tashuv. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe when the freshman says something, I don't see. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it could have brought a better pasuk. Bring a pasuk in Parashas Bereishis. It says that you offer atal ve'offer toshuv.
I mean, that's the whole point. That's in the
right.
That's in the Bria.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's like, I understood now that there are those.
But it could be probably if you look in this in Kehelas, the context of this pasuk is talking about like the futility of death. And living or whatever, so it's more appropriate to bring this pasuk in this context. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out. But what are you going to say?
No.
Right. So we said that the goof goes back to the dirt and you know dissolves and goes back into the land. But the neshama doesn't. How do we know that the neshama, the nefesh actually, was given from the shamayim? Come and see. When Hashem originally created man, he didn't have a ruach neshama. Me'asa, what did Hashem? We said in Perek. Ooh, which Perek did we talk about this one in? Hashem creating Adam Rishon. This is early. Yud. In Perek Yud Aleph, it says, you know, in the first hour Hashem gathered the dirt, the second hour Hashem made the form, the third hour Hashem made the Evarim, and the fourth hour Hashem threw into him a neshama. So you see that the goof existed, and then Hashem put into him a neshama. Right? That's what it means. Kishat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Adam lo yihaya avod ruach neshama. It originally didn't have a neshama. And then, ma'asa, what did Hashem do? Nafach baruch piv v'nizrik avay neshama. Hashem breathed through the spirit of his mouth and threw it into him a neshama. Shenamar, kibiyachol. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem breathed into the nose of the man a nishmas chayim, a living soul. And we know the famous Targum Onkelos over there says that Ruach Memalala, a speaking ability to speak, the ability of speech, that's the speech is the way that the Neshama communicates, etc. The consciousness, what we call Neshama is what the modern philosophers call the consciousness, which is separate from just the raw chemical reactions that happen in the brain. There's something called consciousness. I know it's Machlokes. What?
I read about that subject. I'm a
scientist. Oh, yeah? David Chalmers, you heard of David Chalmers?
I've heard of David Chalmers, but I've never read it.
No, see, he's like the leading philosopher who talks about like the consciousness and stuff. I mean, the truth is that if there's no such thing as a consciousness that's separate from the brain's functions, so then there's no such thing as morality, and then you can't hold, there's no accountability or whatever. Because you could just say like, yo, I didn't really do anything. It was just like something happened in my brain that made it that I took an axe and smashed this guy's forehead. You know? I didn't really. It wasn't what you can't say it was me. It was my hand, and it was a chemical impulse and send electrons to my brain, and it took. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm sure it's more complicated than that. But Rabbi Shimon says, "Kol gufayis noigin ba'afar aretz." All the bodies are touching the dirt of the land. Or the Radah has a different gear, so not noigin, that they're touching, but they're nigvoin, they're gathered in the dirt of the land. Until there's nothing that's left of the body except for a rotten mole tarvud, which is a small bone that's left. That's what's left from the body. That's little small bone, the loose bone they call it. In the other places of Chazal, it's called the loose bone. We spoke about it. I don't think you were here because you left early, right? You left early the last year. Right, the end of the last year, we were speaking about that bone is nourished from the Malava Malka, and the Tchias HaMitzvah is going to come out from that bone. And the body, the dissolved body gets mixed into the dirt of the land, like sourdough, which is mixed into regular dough. Right? Regular dough is, you know, just like bread and water together. It's not going to ferment, or at least it's not going to rise naturally. At least for a while, unless something happens to it. But if you put sourdough, which already has, or nowadays we put yeast, but they used to put sourdough, which would ferment, which would facilitate the fermenting process, right? And that would make it start rising. So here we're saying that the mixture of the goof that's becoming, what's it called? That's dissolving into the land, dissipating, is like the mixture of the sa'ar and the isop. That it's sort of a catalyst. That's the word that I was looking for, a catalyst. In the future, when Hashem is going to call up the land and ask it back to give back its deposit, that Hashem deposited all these bodies into the land, and it's going to say, give me back the bodies that I gave as a deposit. Those bodies that were mixed into the ground, into the dirt of the ground, like sa'or that was mixed into, like sourdough that was mixed into regular dough, miyapo marbo malas kolo guf b'loy mum. It's gonna make the whole body miyape, make it nice, or marbe, it grow, or malas kolo guf, and bring up the entire body b'loy mum without any blemishes. Kesa'or shu miyape umarbe es isa. Like the sourdough, which is miyapa marbe es isa, makes the regular dough rise. It's a catalyst for the fermentation process. And we said over here that it's bloy mum. It's going to bring back people's bodies without a mum. And the previous parak we said that by tchias hamesim, people are going to come back to life originally with their blemishes, Like if a person was blind, so he'll come back blind, and then he'll get healed. Because otherwise he won't be able to recognize, like if, let's say you have a guy who didn't have any arms, right? So when he comes back to life, he's also going to come back to life without arms, because otherwise no one's going to recognize him. And then his arms are going to grow back. Something like that. That's all real to Gemara and Sanhedrin, Daf Sadek Aleph. So if that's true, so the Medrash over here it's saying that the bodies are going to come out without any blemishes. But we said they're going to come with blemishes and get healed afterwards. So I think you would have to say that the Radal says that you have to say that this Medrash over here is either disagreeing with that Gemara, or he changes the girsa. Not b'loy mum, but b'loy mayim. He's going to come out without water. I don't know what that means. But that's what it means. That's what it says. What does it mean that the bodies are going to come out below mayim?
Dry.
Going to be dry.
That means.
I don't know what that means either. Fine. Miad ha'aretz rasha. Immediately, we're talking about tches meisim. The land is going to shake. It's going to make noise. It's going to shake. It's going to be like an earthquake. The harem is the zayim, and the mountains are going to quiver. Are going to shake. Vakvaris tiftachim, and the graves are going to open up. But we said in the last parak that there's going to be like an earthquake before tches meisim, so that all the bones of like each person are going to come together. Because it could be like this guy's nose is like in Africa, and his head is somewhere in Australia or something like that.
What? It was just one. You just said there's one bone left. Everything lasts except one bone.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that works either. But so everything's going to rise except for one bone. And they were saying.
Then the land is gonna
bring back everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like you know wherever his nose decomposed, which rhymes, wherever his nose decomposed, so then the dirt of that area is gonna bring back his nose. But his nose is in Africa, and his head is in Australia. Right, because after he died, a bird came and took his nose, and decided to go to Africa, and then left his nose over there, and that's where it composed. So then this earthquake is going to come and make all the bones come back together to the same place, the bones of each person. And the stones that are, I guess, on top of the graves are going to be scattered, each one from a friend. Hashem is going to save him on that day. Katsayin amai, like the flock of his nation. Ki avnei nezim is neseses alad mosai, like the crown, like the jewels of a crown that are crawling around on its ground. So everything is going to go around, all the jewels of the crown, meaning like the different parts of the person of the people are going to go around on the land until they find each other, and in each person's bones are all going to come together. Rabbi Azariah says, all the souls are in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar asher biyodei nefesh kol chai. So the puzzle in his hand is the nefesh kol chai, the soul of every living thing. What does that mean, that every soul is in the hand of Hashem? Your soul is in the hand of Hashem, you're alive, right? So what does it mean that your soul, the souls of dead people, the souls of alive people, what are we talking about? Mashal l'mad davar deyma. So we're going to explain it through a mashal, a parable. To what is this comparable to? La'echad shayim halach bashuk teach b'yadeh. A person is walking in the shuk, in the marketplace, and what is he holding in his hand? He's holding in his hand his keys. As long as his keys are in his hand, all his money is in his hand. Right? You have the key to your safe deposit box in your hand. It's as if you have all the gold and silver that you have hidden in your safe deposit box. If you do, I don't know. It's as if you're holding that in your hand. You're walking on the street, but you're really holding gold and silver in your hand. So to Hashem, Mafteh shel beis ha'kfaros b'yadayo, Mafteh itzros ha'neshama. The key to the Beis HaKfaros, the key to the cemeteries is in his hand, and the key to the Eitzres HaNeshama, the storage house of the Neshamas, is in Hashem's hand. Hashem has the key. Hashem controls it. That's what it means that Hashem has them in his hand. He has the control over the people who are dead and the people who are alive in his hand. Really, Hashem controls everything. So what's the Chiddush over here? I don't know. Blessed Lava, in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu Pesachas HaKvaris, or Pesachas Etzes HaNishamis. In the future, Hashem is going to open up the Kvaris, the graves, and He's going to open up the storage house of the Neshama. So, Machzer Kol Ruach Baruch LeGuf Pesar Ish. And He's going to return each Ruach into the Guf, to the fleshy Guf of a person. Shnemar Tishalach Ruchachal Yibareun. He's going to send forth the Ruach upon them, and He's going to create them.
Fine. I forgot, did you answer this several weeks ago when you talking about the yes, amazing, which neshama was which body, if there are gilgulim, which body?
Yeah, I think we discussed that. I don't remember what we said. We have seven shurim on the last parak, so if you go listen to all the shurim and we'll figure out what we said. Okay, Fanevesh Demil Yetzra. The soul is similar to its creator. In what way? A few ways. Makadish Borchu Raya Vinanira, Kachanevesh Raya Vinaniris. Just like Hashem, the soul of a person is similar to its creator. We say in other places of Chazal that the soul, the neshama is chelik like kamimala, it's like a part of Hashem. So here we're saying in different ways that the soul is very similar to Hashem. Just like Hashem sees but is not visible, so to the soul sees and is not visible. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu lefon of ein sheina, kach nefesh ein yishena. Just like Hashem, there's no sleep in front of Hashem, right? Hinei lo yonu v'yishen, Hashem never sleeps, right? So to the soul, my son also never sleeps. That's a different problem. My son, yeah, he's up the whole night now. So the presence of neshama never sleeps. The body sleeps, but neshama never sleeps. Right, the Medrash and Bereshis Rabba, Parsha Tazayin, the Medrash says that B'shosh Adam Yoshein, when a person is sleeping, HaNeshama Oyla V'Sheves Lechayim, the Neshama goes up to Shemayim and it gets like a certain unika of a certain, Hashem grants it a certain life, it gets extra life in Shemayim, whatever exactly that means. We say Brach in the morning, right, that Hashem, what? No, Hanoisin Layoif Koyach. Hanoisin Hashem gives to the weak people Koyach, gives them the energy. So the Medrash learned, the Beis Yosef says that the source of that is the Medrash Torah Tev and Tilim. It brings the Pasuk in Echa, it says, Chadashim Labakarim Rabba Emunasecha. Chadashim Labakarim, it's like new a new soul in the morning. Hashem like replenishes our souls. When we're sleeping, Hashem replenishes the souls in the Shemayim. So yeah, Hashem doesn't sleep, of course not. In fact, Hashem is actively, so Hashem doesn't sleep, Hashem actively keeps the world running. The Nefesh HaChaim says like the Shefa of Hashem like keeps coming down to the world and is actively creating the world and actively keeping everything in existence. If Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, would stop for a second, everything would be destroyed. So obviously, it can't be that Hashem sleeps. Right? So to the neshama doesn't sleep, and we said the neshama is like part of Hashem. Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu soivel es olamo kachanevesh soivel es haguf. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu soivel es olamo, that's a good word for soivel.
Tolerates.
Let's say tolerates. Hashem tolerates the world. You know, the world.
Soivel. There's two words I always mix up.
No, that's good.
Soivel and soivel or something.
So Hashem tolerates the world. Hashem tolerates the world that even though the world is not doing exactly what Hashem wants, but He continues to allow it to exist, right? So too, the neshama in a person, even though the body doesn't necessarily always do what the neshama wants, but the neshama still allows the person to continue to exist.
That often means to hold up, doesn't it?
What?
So well is to hold up a load. Also,
that's also true.
Hashem is so well holds up the world. Holds up the body.
Yeah, but yeah, but sivloisam is a burden and also means to tolerate.
Yeah.
And the truth is that the two things are really related.
Yeah.
Because when you're carrying a burden, you're tolerating it because you're letting it still be there because you could just, you know, if I don't want to carry this, so then I don't have to carry it. Why am I carrying this? So I'm tolerating the fact that I'm carrying this thing on my shoulder or whatever. All the souls are from Hashem, or they belong to Hashem. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Of course, everything belongs to Hashem. What does it mean? I don't know. Again, it's very esoteric.
By the way, it's very interesting that it says here that Hashem does not sleep.
Yeah, why?
Shabbos. She slept.
Doesn't say Hashem slept. Ew. Doesn't say he slept.
In Shabbat.
Shabbat doesn't mean sleep.
No, but it's similar. It's rest.
Rest. Shana, but rest and sleep. Rest and sleep don't mean the same thing. Rest and sleep don't mean the same. Sometimes a wife goes and she lays down. Okay. She's not doing anything. But she's not sleeping. She's resting. Sometimes she goes, she closes her eyes and she goes to sleep. So it's two different. They're both replenished and they're both a cessation from active work or whatever, but it's not exactly the same idea. But you're right. It's we have to know exactly what the difference is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Miyam Shechor HaBeis HaMikdash Eretz Umlolo Maras Yeshva. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the land became unfortunate because of the bad deeds of its inhabitants. Ka'adam shuhu chayla ve'en bay chayach lamed, like a person who's sick and he doesn't have the energy to stand. A person who's sick, he doesn't have energy to stand. Ka'ach aretz umolo, so to the eretz, the land, eretz Yisrael, is unfortunate, it's sick. Ve'en bay chayach lita in his perisa, and it doesn't have the energy to give its fruit. Shinemar ve'oretz chanfo tachas yeshvel. In the ancient times, Eretz Yisrael was actually a very fertile land. The Negev is a huge desert now, and nothing can grow in the Negev. It wasn't like that back then. You know, Yehuda wasn't Midbar Yehuda, it was Yehuda. That was the anchor, Malchus Yehuda, that's where Malchus Yehuda was. Right? And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Teva of Eretz Yisrael, the climate, the geography, but the climate and the in the atmosphere, the ecology, everything, it's all changed. It became much weaker. And it's not able to do what it used to do. I think that's pshat over here in the Medrash. Ulasu lavei Kadosh Baruch Hu mayri tchias tal u'mechayei hamesim. In the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring down a tchias tal u'mechayei hamesim, a dew which replenishes and resurrects the dead. Shenamar yichyu meisacha. It will bring life to those who are dead. Elo Yisrael shemesu v'tuchim al shmai. These are the Jews who died and they were v'tuchim al shmai, but they were still relying on Hashem, and Hashem is going to bring them back with this dew that brings the tchia. Nivlasi yikumun. My carcass will come back. Will come up. What's that referring to? Elo harishoyim shein kinivlas abehema shekumu levitin aval lo yichyu. The carcass is going to come back up is referring to the Rishayim that are compared to the carcass of an animal, which is going to, they're going to come back for the Yom HaDin, but they're not going to live. Does it say Goyim Bayu over here also? No, here it says Rishayim. So here, both Kirsalas say that the Rishayim are going to come up for the Yom HaDin, but they're not going to live after Tchias HaMeis. They're just going to be revived for the ultimate judgment and not go back to life completely. Hakitzu v'renenu sheichnei afar. The pasuk says, Hakitzu, wake up, v'rananu sheichnei afar, and sing, O people who are resting in the dirt, in the land, in the dirt. Elu hatzadikim shem sheichnei afar. That's referring to the tzadikim who are living in the dirt right now. They're dead. They're living in the dirt. So in the future, they're going to wake up and they're going to sing. Ki tal oyreis talacha, because a dew of light is your dew. What does that mean? Ein tal tzadikim tal shel choshech ala tal shel or. The tal, the dew that's going to revive the tzadikim, resurrect the tzadikim in the future, is not a dew of choshech, a dew of darkness. Rather, it's a dew of light. What's that? What does that mean? So Radal explains that the dew that we have nowadays, when you wake up in the morning and there's dew on the floor, on the ground, so that dew is a dew of darkness. Tal shel choshech. Why? Because it came at night, right? And we're living at a time of night, right? Olam Hazeh is night. So the tal that comes now, that we said earlier, so the tal that comes now is a tal of choshech, a tal of night, a dew of night. But in the future, it's going to be a tal shel or, a dew of day, a special light that's going to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and bring back the tzaddikim to life. Again, it's very esoteric and I don't know what any of this means. I'm just saying pshat. V'hudas and refuas l'aretz, and Hashem is going to bring healing to the land, is going to bring, he's going to have everything come, get healed. Shinara says, Hashem is going to bring down, he's gonna bring down Rafoyim onto the land. He's gonna bring down healing in the land. Umahu Naisen Rafois La'aretz. And what is that Rafoa that Hashem is gonna bring to the land? And the Mefarshim say, skip the next line. Tiflei Talat Chesed Meisim. Hashem is gonna exude a dew which is gonna bring about is gonna bring about the Chesed Meisim. It's gonna help bring a catalyst for the revival, resurrection of the dead. Umezu Mokoim Yared. From which place is this dew gonna descend? I don't know what this means, but it says Meireishah Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. From the head of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's where the dew is going to fall from, and that's going to bring back the tzaddik. I don't know what that means. Lo said Lavai, and in the future, Menar Sa'ar Roishai, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the future, is going to shake the hair of his head, Kibyachol, because we know that Hashem is incorporeal, doesn't have a body. And he's going to shake his head, and he's going to shake the hair of his head, and from that, this dew is going to come down and is going to resurrect the dead. Shema, it says the pasuk, "Ani yishena v'li bi'er." I am asleep, or it's talking about Hashem. I look like I'm sleeping, but li bi'er, but my heart is awake. It looks like Hashem is sleeping, but really He knows exactly what's going on. And the pasuk says about Hashem, "Achu reishin imlatol." My head is full of dew. So that's also a description of Kadosh Baruch Hu. His head is full of dew, and we're saying that that dew that is referring to the dew that Hashem is going to use to revive the dead by Tchias Meisim, and we're saying that the dew is the source of that dew is in the head of Hashem, whatever exactly that means. All right, I think we more or less finished the parak. I don't understand anything we're talking about, but we said it, and Reza Hashem, now we're ready to go back to Yaakov Avinu.